This is Fresh Air. The film Midnight Cowboy has been re-released in honor of its 25th anniversary. It opened in New York and Los Angeles and will open in other cities later this month. When the film first opened in 1969, it was given an X rating, but it won Academy Awards for Best Film, Best Screenplay, and Best Director. We're going to hear an interview with the director, John Schlesinger, recorded in 1988. Schlesinger's other movies include Billy Liar, Sunday Bloody Sunday, Marathon Man, The Falcon and the Snowman, and The Believers. Schlesinger is English. Midnight Cowboy was the first film that he made in the United States. The film stars John Voight as a Texan who's just come to Manhattan, where he plans to become a great stud. But instead of hustling other people, everyone else hustles him. One of the odd characters he meets is Ratso Rizzo, played by Dustin Hoffman. This is the scene where the two meet in a bar. John Voight is being propositioned by a transvestite.
Hi, cowboy. Got a cigarette?
Hey, sweetheart.
More damn faggots in this town.
Oh, kiss it, Ratso.
Up yours. You gotta watch out for that.
Hey, you really know the ropes.
Oh, damn, I wish I bumped into you before.
Huh.
I'm Joe Buck from Texas.
Enrico Rizzo, from the Bronx.
And I'm gonna buy you a drink. What the hell do you think of that?
Well, I don't mind if I do.
Bartender, drinks all around. One for my friend here, too.
Damn, I know when I give satisfaction, I give her satisfaction. I mean, you see what I'm getting at here? She got a penthouse up there with a color TV, more diamonds than an archbishop. And she busts out bawling when I ask her for money.
For what?
For money.
Wait a minute. For money for what?
Oh, hell, I'm a hustler. You didn't know that?
Now, how am I supposed to know that? I mean, you got to tell a person these things.
I'm a hustler.
It's a scene from Midnight Cowboy. Now, this is the story of someone who comes from Texas to New York and really doesn't know his way around and makes a lot of mistakes while learning the ropes. This was your first film in America. Did you empathize at all since you were new to the country yourself?
Totally. I mean, that was the reason I thought I could make the film, because in a sense, New York is a fantasy for the cowboy. And he thinks, he imagines it as one thing, and then the reality turns out to be something quite different. And I suppose, in a way, I could sympathise, empathise with that. And most of the films that I've made in the States have in some way been about fantasy or fantasists. And I felt that that was something I really could relate to.
You worked with Dustin Hoffman in this film before he really became a star. I think you actually cast him before The Graduate came out.
No, The Graduate was already out, and I didn't believe that he was a character actor until I actually met him, dressed for the role. He came to meet me in New York, and we walked around 42nd Street, and he was wearing a dirty old raincoat, and kind of melded in so perfectly with the background that he got the part by the end of the evening. And all I'd got to go on was the reputation as a character actor and having seen him in The Graduate playing a very different kind of role.
When he was walking around in that raincoat, was that something he was doing to prove to you how good a character actor he could be, or is that just the way he was dressed?
No, he was trying to prove.
Oh, okay,
he was trying to get
checking.
The part, I reckon, yes.
I think when this movie came out, it was X-rated.
Yes.
Initially?
Yes, it was.
It seems pretty tame by today's standards. I mean, there's four-letter words in it and some nudity, but it's still... You think it would have gotten an X today?
No. It very quickly lost its X, in fact.
Oh.
After the Oscars.
Did you fight for that, or did you just...
No, at the time, I think Jerry Hellman, the producer, and I both felt, you know, okay, that's probably what it should get. It was the X rating then meant something quite different to the rating now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when it got an R rating, they'd already changed the meanings of what X rating represented.
Midnight Cowboy was your first film in the United States. Why did you want to make an American film?
Oh, I thought the book was extraordinary, and it would give me an opportunity to deal with an American theme. I hadn't, until I read the book, I'd had no ambition actually to come here to work. And when I read it, I thought, this is a hell of a story, and I understand these two characters, even though I don't know them, really. And I came to America on the heels of a tremendous failure, Far From the Madding Crowd, which was a quite tough baptism of fire. And I stayed on in Los Angeles after it had opened there and flopped rather badly, working on the screenplay of Midnight Cowboy with Waldo Salt, and hung around, you know, Hollywood Boulevard, which is a fairly sleazy area. And some of the things in the film I saw and experienced on the boulevard, and then came to New York. And with Waldo, we trudged the streets of New York, experiencing more things, all of which have a place in the movie. And it was a very interesting period of my life, because I came to the States to promote a film which hadn't worked. So I knew what rejection in Hollywood terms meant and how, and then started to work on this next movie and really got more and more hooked and intrigued by the whole subject.
Well, Midnight Cowboy was made in 1969. Let me ask you about a film you made a couple of years later in England, Sunday Bloody Sunday.
And yes.
This film starred Glenda Jackson and Peter Finch as two people both in love with the same man, a bisexual man. Was it hard to get backing to do this movie? It was not a moralistic film that preached against homosexuality.
No, it certainly wasn't. No, it was, and funnily enough, though the subject was tough, I suppose, the fact that Midnight Cowboy was so successful enabled me to get backing fairly quickly from United Artists, who'd also distributed Midnight Cowboy. And they, I remember the remark of David Picker, who was running the company, head of production at that time, "I don't quite know where this script is taking us, but if you want to do it, do it. It's not going to cost too much." And we did.
There's a scene where Peter Finch and Murray Head, the actor who plays the bisexual man, kiss. And it was really a very brave scene for the time, for 1971.
Yes, that was ahead of its time.
Did you have to fight to include that?
No, I didn't have to fight to include it. I mean, some very strange things happened. I mean, the actors didn't object to doing it because they realized that it was quite important. And I felt it had to be treated just as an everyday occurrence. I mean, Penelope Gilliatt, who wrote the screenplay, and I had some quite serious arguments about the scene, because she felt it should be kind of done in long shot and silhouette, and in a sense made a special deal of by trying to throw it away. And I felt it should just happen in front of the camera with no big deal, as part of their everyday behaviour in private. And that's the way we did it. And there were objections, certainly, in the cinema. I remember one of the first screenings in America, a woman nudged her husband in front of me and said, "Come on, Harry, let's get out. This is not a film for nice people." And Peter Finch's wife could never quite get used to it when she came to the opening at Venice Festival. I remember she screamed out loud when the kiss happened. And I said before the London premiere, "Now, please just keep your trap shut. You know it's coming. Shut up." But she couldn't resist screaming again. So I was very glad when she wasn't on the road with us in America.
It's really funny. She'd probably seen her husband getting killed in movies.
Yes, but, no. But the
didn't
idea,
get this kind of reaction.
No, this was more horrendous to her, I guess. Anyway, it was a film that I think was probably ahead of its time, and I don't think that the United Artists expected it to have the kind of critical success it did.
My guest is film director John Schlesinger. We're after this break. This is Fresh Air. Back with film director John Schlesinger. Let me ask you about the film Marathon Man. You made this in 1976. It also starred Dustin Hoffman. As a graduate student who unwittingly becomes involved in international espionage. Now, the most talked about scene in this movie is the dental torture scene, in which Dustin Hoffman is tortured by Laurence Olivier. Olivier plays a Nazi doctor who uses his dentistry as a technique to extract information from people under torture. I want to just play this scene and then talk with you about making it. So this is Laurence Olivier and Dustin Hoffman.
"Oh, please don't worry. I'm not going into that cavity. That nerve's already dying. A live, freshly cut nerve is infinitely more sensitive.
So I'll just drill into a healthy tooth until I reach the pulp. Unless, of course, you can tell me that it's safe."
"Thank you.
He knew nothing. If he'd known, he would have told. Get rid of him.
Not very pretty, is it?
It's worse on sound than it is in vision, in fact.
No, it's more like the real thing where you have your eyes clenched shut and you're just hearing the sounds of the drill.
Yes, you never ever see it in the film. You never see drill on tooth. It's all suggested by eyes and by the drill coming towards the camera.
Well, civilians never really do see what that looks like. Only dentists get to see that.
No, but I mean, the audience never see it.
But I mean, it's more like the way you experience
it. Yes, absolutely.
Because you don't see the drill hitting your teeth when you're in the dentist's office.
No, but you see it coming towards your mouth. And that scene, I mean, had everybody squirming. It was in the book, Bill Gohman's book, and I thought it was a terrific scene. But we had to do it very artfully, though I knew that it was literally a nerve that would hit, when hit, would affect everyone, certainly me. Because I think very often you put things into films which affect you one way and another, certainly things that terrify you, and the dentist, going to the dentist always terrified me. So it was a scene that I felt very, very strongly identification with.
Did you want to make the scene as horrible as possible, or did you want to keep it medium horrible?
I wanted to make it feel, but I didn't want it to be gloating over the violence of it, which is why we never showed anything graphic. It was all suggested. And the first moment that you hear the whir of the motor of the drill, you don't even see it. It's behind the lid of a suitcase, which is opened. I always think that everything is better suggested and leave the rest to the audience imagination, where possible.
It wouldn't surprise me if there was more than once when you were in the dentist chair and your dentist before undoing the drill gave you his impressions or her impressions of this scene. Has that happened to you?
Well, I must confess that since the film, I've been probably more scared of going to the dentist for fear that they'd get revenge. But I know my dentist quite well. And funnily enough, dentists that I've been to have always rather enjoyed the film. So they haven't tortured me too badly.
Well, good. You entered the film industry in England right after the Second World War. What kind of state was the movie industry in when you...
Well, I tried to get into it after the Second World War. I made, when I was a student, a sort of amateur student film about a hanging in the 17th century that had actually taken place on a hill near where my family lived. And it got some attention. It was just a student film. Then I became a professional actor, so I didn't go into the film industry immediately because, as usual, there was a slump, as there always seemed to be permanently slumps in different countries' film industry, and there certainly is often in England. And I tried, having made this student film, to get a job as a tea boy or an assistant, and couldn't. So I became a professional actor for some years, made a small documentary about Hyde Park, which got shown by BBC Television, and eventually got in through television. Making small documentaries for magazine programs. And that got me my break, finally.
What about working with actors? Do you have a certain style in working with them? Do you like to let them bring what they want to a performance, or do you try to pretty strictly guide what they do?
Well, I have very strong visual images of what I want to do with the film before I start shooting. And within those parameters, I feel that the actors must be given freedom to express themselves as much as they can. I mean, I think they've got a great deal to add to a film. If I respect the actors, there are some actors that are very selfish and need hitting hard, and some that are very inexperienced and frightened and need help. But the majority of them, I've found, are people that you're collaborating with in a spirit of very sort of warm creation, in a sense. You've got to give them space to feel free, to make fools of themselves if necessary. And then you are there to hold them down and to tell them where to taper down a performance. Because acting for the movies isn't really acting, it's being a character. And as long as I feel I'm trusted and I trust them, then I think there's an extremely fruitful atmosphere for collaboration.
Do you think that having acted before you started directing has made you more sensitive to the actors that you work with?
I think I know what their problems are when they come on the set and everybody's hanging around and there's pressure, which there always is, to get a performance as quickly as possible. And I admire good screen acting tremendously. I mean, there are certain favourite actors I have who, like Peter Finch had and Alan Bates has, which is the quality of conceal. There's more there, and it doesn't all show itself at once. Some actors, you see the performance, and they can be very good actors and very good performances, but you don't feel there's a reserve, greater emotional reserve underneath, which the best screen actors, I think, have. Monty Clift had it in spades.
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us about your directing. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
John Schlesinger recorded in 1988. His 1969 film Midnight Cowboy has been re-released. It's opened in New York and L.A. It opens in other cities later this month. This is Fresh Air.